demanded.
Witches, I suspect, said Lord Felmet.
I don't really think...
the fool began. Lady Felmet's glare didn't merely silence him. It almost nailed him to the wall.
That is clearly apparent, she said. You're an idiot.
A fool, my lady.
As well,
she added and turned back to her husband.
So,
she said, smiling grimly.
Still they defy you?
The Duke shrugged.
How should I fight magic? He said.
With words? Said the fool, without thinking, and was instantly sorry they were both staring at him.
What?
Said the Duchess. The fool dropped his mandolin in his embarrassment.
In the guild, said the fool, we learn that words can be more powerful even than magic.
Clown,
said the Duke.
Words are just words, brief syllables. Sticks and stones may break my bones.
He paused, savouring the thought.
But words can never hurt me.
My lord, there are such words that can, said the fool. Liar, usurper, murderer.
Duke jerked back and gripped the arms of the throne, wincing.
Such words have no truth, said the fool hurriedly, but they can spread like fire underground, breaking out to burn.
It's true, it's true,
screamed the Duke.
I hear them all the time.
He leaned forward.
It's the witches,
he hissed.
Then they can be fought with other words, said the fool. Words can fight even witches.
What words?
Said the Duchess thoughtfully. The fool shrugged. Crone?
Evil eye? Stupid old woman?
The Duchess raised one thick eyebrow.
You're not entirely an idiot, are you? She said. You refer to rumour.
Just so, my lady.
The fool rolled his eyes. What had he got himself into?
It's the witches,
whispered the Duke, to no one in particular.
We must tell the world about the witches, their evil. They make it come back, the blood. Even sandpaper doesn't work.
There was another tremor as Granny Weatherwax hurried along the narrow, frozen pathways in the forest. A lump of snow slipped off a tree branch and poured over her hat. This wasn't right. She knew. Never mind about the whatever it was. But it was unheard of for a witch to go out on Hog's Watch night. It was against all tradition. No one knew why, but that wasn't the point. She came out onto the moorland and pounded across the brittle heather, which had been scoured of snow by the wind. There was a crescent moon near the horizon, and its pale glow lit up the mountains that towered over her. It was a different world up there, and one even a witch would rarely venture into. It was a landscape left over from the frosty birth of the world, all green ice and knife-edge ridges and deep secret valleys. It was a landscape never intended for human beings, not hostile, any more than a brick or a cloud is hostile, but terribly, terribly uncaring. Except that this time, it was watching her. A mind quite unlike any other she had ever encountered was giving her a great deal of its attention. She glared up at the icy slopes, half expecting to see a mountainous shadow move against the stars.
Who are you?
She shouted.
What do you want?
Her voice bounced and echoed among the rocks. There was a distant boom of an avalanche high among the peaks. On the crest of the moor, where in the summer partridges lurked among the bushes like small whirring idiots, was a standing stone. It stood roughly where the witches' territories met, although the boundaries were never formally marked out. The stone was about the same height as a tall man and made of bluish-tinted rock. It was considered intensely magical because, although there was only one of it, no one had